part of, we need to give you the glory and the credit for. Father, we would be nothing, a mere just humans walking around trying to make ends meet, trying to have a purpose in life without you. And God, we just do thank you for how you bless us, how you care for us, and God, how you go before us and you clear the way for us to walk the journey that you have for us. And God, I just thank you for that. And Lord, as we study tonight, and just a great reminder of your promises, and also a spark that will stir within us the importance of being out there telling your son's story. God, we just thank you. We praise you in your son's name. Amen. All righty, I appreciate that. And as we get into our study, you turn into the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Because I know how much you really like to go deep. We're going to go deep tonight. We're going to pull out something. We went through this text already, but I want to pull something out. We talked last week, because last week we ended with the exciting fact to think about, that we'll have responsibilities in the kingdom, the millennial reign. I'm not sure what they are. I'm not sure what that'll look like, but we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. But it mentions, if you go to chapter 20 and go to verse 6, chapter 20, verse 6, it said, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's some pretty interesting details in that verse. And one of them that I want to talk about tonight is the resurrections. It's very important to see that when in verse 6 it says the first resurrection. Now, some people have different understanding of what that resurrection is, or who is resurrected in that resurrection. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that tonight. I'm going to go through there's four phases of the first resurrection. So in these four phases, we're gonna sort of go through and share who rises, because there's a second resurrection, and the second resurrection is going to be the resurrection of the 1,000-year reign individuals who die that know Christ. Because you figure in 1,000 years, there's a lot of people going to be born, a lot of people going to die. 1,000 years is a long time. When you think about it, you know, if you think of our earth, if you take the theory of Ken Ham, we have a very young earth. So I think he would probably say now anywhere from 8 to 10,000 years old, not the billions of years old that it took to make all these things. We know that God is capable of doing whatever he wants to do within a matter of seconds to us. It doesn't need to be years of evolution. God speaks it and it's there. And God says, this is the way it's going to be, and this is the way it is. There's no long, drawn-out time with God. So even at that, you realize that 1,000 years into our earth itself, there was probably, I think there was estimated 3 million people on earth in 1,000 years. And so we're a little over that now, maybe 1,025 years when you go back to the zero. And now there's billions of people. So 1,000 years, there's going to be a lot of people that come and go. The second resurrection is going to be them. The second resurrection is going to take that. So what's the first resurrection? What does it look like? And how would you be able to talk about that if somebody asked you about that? So we're going to look at a little bit about that tonight. Hopefully we don't go too deep, too crazy with it. But we're going to look at it in a way, hopefully, as we study through scriptures, that if you look at this verse, you almost seem like this is the only resurrection, and it's all in one big whole resurrection, but it's not. It comes in phases. So what we want to do is, first of all, as John mentioned his first resurrection, he also used two very important adjectives. If you look at verse 6, blessed and holy, those two adjectives are not given to mankind. Those two adjectives are given to you and I, his children. Because it's not referring to the unsaved. It's blessed and holy are only those who know Christ. So that's very important to understand when you see this, and understand that the resurrection there, again, is going to be a resurrection of those who believe. It's going to be a resurrection. So each one of these phases are all going to be dealing with people who are saved. The unsaved are not resurrected yet. They're going to be in the second resurrection at the end of the millennial reign, just before the great white throne judgment. The saved and the unsaved will be resurrected, because then the unsaved then are thrown into the bottomless pit for a life and ever and ever and ever and ever into hell. So that's the second resurrection. We're going to study that and look at that a little bit later on. So the four phases of the first one. It's interesting. The first, as we look at this, it began, set your finger there in Revelation and go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I just want to give you the text. We can read through it. Mark it down if you're talking with somebody or you want to even go in a little bit more of a depth study on your own. I think that's very, very noble, very good thing to do. But in Luke chapter 24, this is where the first phase of this first resurrection begins. Verse 5 through 7 of chapter 24. It's a very familiar. It says in verse 5, "And they were afraid, and when they bowed down their face to the earth, and they said to them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Now this is the Mary coming back to the sepulcher after Christ was buried, after he died. It says, "And they were afraid. They saw two men stood by them," in verse 4. "As they were afraid, and they bowed down their faces to earth, and they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you, and he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." This is the phase one of the first resurrection, is Christ rising from the grave. He rose from the grave. He rose as the first fruits. And that's very important when you understand the concept even of the first fruits. Because Paul then adds to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you go from Luke 24, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Looking at verse 20 and 24. 20 through 24. It says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, first phase, and become the first fruits of them that sleep." Sleep is a Greek word for those who have died. They're not, and this is where some people believe in soul sleep, because the Bible uses the word sleep, that when somebody dies, they're just like in la-la land until everything takes place. And we know that meaning death is not true. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of God, and I don't think we'll be sleeping when we get there. But that's where they get some of that understanding. So he said in verse 21, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So in these verses, we see that, well, let's go down to 23 and 24. "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power." Those are some pretty awesome verses of promise. If you really look at those verses and what God is saying is going to happen and what he's going to do. So the first phase is Christ. Now, he's the first fruits. And it's interesting, if you was to do a sort of a, I don't know, an understanding of first fruits, it would simply be really the two truths come out of this. First of all, he was first, which means there will be a second. If there wasn't a second, or if there wasn't something coming after that, they would never have said he is the first. There means there's something else. So him being the first, fruits. When you go out, and this is the second truth of this, when you go out and start gleaning a crop, when you go out and start picking your apples, you don't pick the first fruits of your apples, and then the next thing to come is your bananas. the second thing that comes, or the what comes next, is just like Paul stated in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said Christ was the first one to rise, then those that are like him. If he was the first fruits, what that simply means then is that we can only expect it to be a similar crop. We can only be like Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, many people ask, you know, if we want to know what our bodies are going to be like, what does your resurrected body look like? It's going to be the exact same as when Christ's resurrected body when he came out of the grave. Because he was the first fruits, we are going to be as or like him as we then will follow. So it gives us a little bit of an insight is what our bodies going to look like? Well, it doesn't mean what you're going to look like. We're hoping heaven repairs some of all that stuff. But when you go look at your body, what is your body like? Well, how did he come? How did he come out of the grave? Well, obviously, he came out of the grave, or he'll have had a body that, as Paul again says in the same 1 Corinthians 47 through 49, again, as the first man was of the earth made of dust. Second man of the Lord was made from heaven. So even though you and I are made from dust and he is made from heaven, we are going to have that heavenly body, or that body that Christ had. Now, did he eat after he came out of the grave? Yes, he did. He broke bread, broke fish with the disciples. Doesn't say he ate it, but he broke with them. So we're assuming he ate it. So his body is going to be one that is recognizable. Paul knows when Paul got translated into heaven, he saw one that he knew aforetime. He saw somebody that he knew on earth. So we're going to be recognizable. We're going to have bodies like Christ had, because as he is risen, like form, we will be risen. And so the bodies we have are going to have the spiritual. They're going to have the, like, as bodies from heaven. And so I think it's important, because a lot of people ask about, you know, what it's going to be like. How's it going to be? But one of the things we know from Paul, when he talks about, though death, where is your sting? You know, the corruptible must put on incorruption, the immortal must put on immortality. Those are descriptions of what our bodies are going to be like. So in our bodies, we're gonna be incorruptible. There's going to be no sin in us. And that transition between who we are now and who God is going to rise us to be is, there's no flesh as we know flesh sinfully, sinful flesh. It's incorruptible. It's not going to be destroyed. It's never going to go. It's never going to die. There is no death in heaven. And we will simply live forever and ever and ever and ever in the body that we have, in the body that we're resurrected with. So you can go off on 100 different rabbit trails. You can say, well, are we going to grow up in heaven? Some don't grow up on earth, but are we going to grow up in heaven? Are we going to be able to, is there ages in heaven? Are we all going to stay the same age? You know, are the young babies that are in heaven, the young children in heaven, young adults in heaven, are we going to stay that way forever? I don't know. I can't answer that. All I know is we're going to live forever. And we're not going to die. How that works, how that looks, I don't know. God only knows, and God made a way. So as his body was incorruptible, so will ours be. And again, his body was not bound by physics. And neither were our bodies be bound by physics. Because he also, as they were in the upper room waiting, how did he enter into the upper room? Appeared, like through the door type thing. So his body was also in a spirit form. And I can't explain all the details of this. All I know is that we will have a body like that. It will not be bound by physics. It will not be bound by what we understand it today on earth. It will not be bound by heaven. It won't be bound by earth. It's going to be a body as Christ had a body that was able to be on earth and also able to be in heaven after his resurrection. Because in the same body as the dis- disciples watched him on the Mount of Transfiguration, watched him rise into heaven with the same body they saw him walk the earth on. So, all that being said, we have an idea of what our body may be like. But with that, we don't know what our mortal bodies will be like. We don't know what we're going to look like. We don't know, you know, am I going to be bald forever? I don't know. Maybe I get to heaven, I'll have a hair. I don't know. So I've heard some people say that we're going to be, Christ died when he was 32, so we're all going to go back to what we looked like at 32. I don't know if that scares you. I don't know if that's better for you. I have no idea. But I don't know where that's in Scripture. There's no age in through Scripture. So we're going to have these bodies, and we also know from last week that we're going to have responsibilities in heaven. One of the other things that we know is that in our immortal bodies that don't die, in our bodies that are no corruption, there's also going to be no pain. There's going to be no sorrow, no diseases. There's going to be nothing. And I don't know how old you have to go back until you remember feeling like that. When you woke up and you didn't have the snap, crackle, pop cereal going off on you. But we're going to have bodies that are going to be basically perfect. And I really think we're going to go back, and Scripture says it will be back as if it was in the Garden of Eden, where lion will lay with lamb. There was no death until Adam and Eve sinned, so the animals did not eat each other. The animals were all vegetarians. So all you vegan and all you dietarian people, you're getting in practice. Forever you will eat nothing but greens. That make you want to get there, right? I don't know. Right. Well, but what you what? He was on earth when he had the fish too. He wasn't in heaven. It's not that we couldn't eat, but there's no death. There's no death. So in order to eat meat, you got to kill it. That's why you eat as much venison now as I can. Because I can't get in a bear forever. But I don't want to make light of it. It's going to be a time that is going to be, you know, our bodies are not going to lack nutrients. Our body is not going to lack anything. Our bodies are going to be perfect. We won't have to eat the right dietary food in order to do what we do. We won't have to make sure we drink all the water we got to drink every day to stay hydrated. Everything is going to be perfect. And I think that's phenomenal when you really think about all that we go through now and what we'll have then. So a part, again, phase, it's just a phase of this. So after we understand all this, again, no pains, no illness, our bodies will have no more issues. And I don't know, I can't wait to get the upgrade. It's going to be pretty good. The second phase of the first resurrection, Christ's resurrection is the first phase. The second phase of the resurrection, as it began with Jesus, but the next time it'll kick in, is when we understand, as Paul teaches in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's the rapture of the church. That's the second phase of the first resurrection. And so we know that as in verse 16 and 17 of chapter 4, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So those are going to be the church age saints. Those, the raptures for the church. So that's part of two, or phase two, of the first resurrection. Christ is first, we are second. He's first fruits, we are second. The church age goes. And then again, 1 Corinthians 15:52 again says that we will rise incorruptible and we shall be changed. That change that happens from what you experience today to what we will be then, God only knows. God only knows what the change is going to be. All we know is we're immortal, we're incorruptible, we have no diseases, we have no issues, we have no problems, and we are going to be in perfect health forever. No need for hospitals, no need for doctors, no need for anybody. We're going to have the perfect formed body. And I think that's amazing when you see all the pain and hurt in our world today, when you see all the things that we go through today, and everything will be made right. Our emotions, our feelings, everything will be perfect. Everything will be done right. So that's amazing. But that's the second one. The dead in Christ will rise first. And again, this one, as we know, it's not the end of this first resurrection. It's just the next phase. So the third phase, several chapters back, if you look in Revelations 11:11, it says, chapter 11, verse 11 of Revelation, as we have studied through this, and it says there that, and after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet with great fear, fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up into the heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Who is that? It was the two witnesses. Most people believe it was Elijah and Moses. That's most people take that understanding. I believe that to be very plausible. I think that's probably the best that we could come up with of those two individuals. And so they're going to be risen from the dead. They're going to die. They're going to be martyred for their witness. In 3.5 days, they're going to rise again. The voice from heaven says, come up. They're going to rise up right in front of everybody, and it's going to scare them all out to death. That's phase three of the first resurrection. Phase four, there's one more grand event in the first resurrection, and this takes place at the end of the tribulation. And that is when we read about the Revelation 20, verse 4 through 6. That's the verse we read at the beginning of our time together. When all those, remember, in I think it was early on as in our study, when the martyred saints' souls were under the altar, those who got killed in the tribulation time, those who did not take the mark of the beast, those who died believing in Christ or believing in God during the tribulation time, all of those saints, this is when they are raised. Behold, the blessed and the holy. Those are referring to those individuals who died during the tribulation time. So the church age is the second phase. Then the third phase is the two witnesses halfway through or midway through the tribulation. And the fourth phase is all of the tribulation saints, all the people who died during the tribulation time. They will then be raised. And I believe the Old Testament saints are going to be raised at this point too. I believe that the Old Testament saints are going to rise here, because if you go back in the old Jeremiah 30 verse 9, it says Jacob's trouble, the people shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will rise up for them. So the time of Jacob's trouble is alluded to the millennial reign. It's alluded to that time when they're in the tribulation and millennial reign. God says David will sit on the throne. God is going to sit on the throne. God is going to reign, but David will be there. So the Old Testament saints, I believe, are going to be raised at the end of the tribulation time in phase four. So now that you're all clear on this, there is nobody left in the grave or on the earth that believed in Christ or had faith in God after this. Okay? You have the 144,000 going into the millennial reign. Some say you have some of the Gentiles going into millennial reign. I'm not sure how many or who all goes into the millennial reign. But at the next resurrection, you'll have those who were saved or those who died during the 1,000-year millennial reign. So at the end of the tribulation, everybody prior to that is either in heaven or in hell, temporary. Those places that aren't their permanent state, because John, at the end of all this, John says that he saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down. That's where our eternal forever is going to be, in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth. So those phases, I think, are very important, because when you put it together and you realize, as God's making all these promises, you can see where we're at. And, you know, phase one is done. Christ rose from the grave. Phase two is us, which really could happen any minute. I mean, I think our world is set, and the things going on in our world is set for an any moment rapture. That is the second phase. And then once that phase goes up, then we have the tribulation beginning on earth. Third phase will come with the two witnesses. Fourth phase will be at the end of the tribulation, all those who were martyred during that time. So, and I believe the Old Testament saints. So the Old Testament saints, the church age, the martyred saints, and the tribulation all will be ruling and reigning with Christ when that thousand-year reign takes place. What's your question? Correct. No, he is the first of the first resurrection that's already happened. He rose back in Luke, back at the cross. He's not going to rise again. The second, we're waiting on the second phase. That's us. That's the church being taken out. So right now, we're still in the church age because the first resurrection started with Christ, the first fruits, and is a continuation and continuing on until the second phase, and it will continue on first resurrection until the third and fourth phase are done. So Christ is, it only already rose. That's done deal. Correct. The 144,000 are 12,000 from each tribe of Judah or each tribe of the nation of Israel. Even though we're studying on Sunday nights how the nations split, 10 went north, 2 went south, God is going to bring 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, 144, and he marks them early on in the tribulation time. They know that they cannot be martyred. They know that they cannot be killed. And so they will go through the whole tribulation time. And listen, it's like you and I going through earth now. I mean, we're not always the one getting hit with the diseases. We're not always the one getting hit with issues, but we are affected by them. So I think the 144,000 will be affected by the tribulation. They just won't be killed or martyred in the tribulation. They're going to go into millennial reign. Well, that's when 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says that the dead in Christ will rise first. And that's when their bodies. Correct. Correct. Yeah. And it's almost like, if I can, I don't know, I don't want to simplify it in my own head too much, but it's almost like they have to go, their bodies have to rise first to meet their souls so that when we get there, they're already put back together. And that sounds like a very irreverent way of saying it. Huh? Their soul is in heaven. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. When God took and breathed life into Adam, that was the soul of man. Life. Had nothing to do with his outer extremity. That was the soul of man. That was life, the breath of life. That's what's in heaven. Your life. You, who you are. Sorry. Nobody, I can't put a handle on it either. That's all I know. That's all Scripture says. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of God. In the presence of God, I'm not sure what I look like if I died right now, but I know I'm there. That's all that matters. Where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father. No. Where are we going to meet Christ at the rapture? In the air, in the clouds. So my best guess, and that's all this is at this point, is that when those bodies rise from the grave, I'm not thinking of the Tim LaHaye movie where the clothes are all folded neatly and all that kind of stuff. You've probably some nasty horror movies where it doesn't look like that, okay? And that's very true with those who are in the caskets at the moment. There is no vault, and there is no casket that is waterproof. Don't let any funeral director fool you. There's water in them anyway, so you got all that deterioration, you got all that. We'll just leave it there. But when God raises them up, God raises up their bodies, and I can't even begin to tell you what that looks like. I can't even tell you how I'm going to look. When, twinkling of an eye, boom, you're there. You can't explain that. You can't explain how that's going to work. God has a way that he's just going to put it all back together. He's going to put the shell back with the soul in heaven. And even the sea is going to give up its dead. What does that mean? How does that work? Well, my mind is they throw a guy overboard because he died or somebody drowned at the sea. And how many hundreds of fish decided to take a bite or two, swim away and drop all over the ocean? God's going to pick them all back up and make it. I don't know how he's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. He's going to be able to do it. So the shells that we see at the funeral homes, the shell that we know is in the grave, that will be put back together with flesh and skin back up in heaven, and the soul will be put back to it, and they will end up looking just like we look, those who never died in heaven. When we all get there, we're all going to have the body like Christ. So he's going to put it all back together. And that's, you know, honestly, some people have the cremation burial. You know, there's, you can't go to a scripture verse and say that cremation is absolute sin. That's how the pagans did it. That's how other worshiped gods did it. So we take the stands or understand the stands that we want to exemplify Christ. He was buried. We should be buried. But that doesn't mean God's not going to put that body back together. That same body is going to be put back together because God said so. And there's no way that our minds can wrap around how he's going to do that. We just know it's going to be done. We know he's going to do it. Rodney? Given bodies likened unto, that's what I just said. He's first fruits. So our understanding is he's not going to look like an apple and we're not going to look like an orange. We are going to look just like he, because as first fruits, we are the gleaning of the second fruit. We will look just like him. And so, again, there's no way that we're going to wrap our mind around that. We can't wrap our mind around that. But God is going to bring the bone, the flesh, back together with the soul in heaven, having the body that he had, just like he had when he rose from the dead. And he's going to do that with everybody who has died, and, as we know, buried in a grave. Exactly. And as some people use that verse as saying that cremation is the way that the Bible teaches. Because from dust you were made, from dust you return. So, I mean, as with everything in life, you are never going to outplay the hand of God. It doesn't matter. And you know, he's going to do that for the unsaved too. The unsaved who are buried, I believe, will be called up in that second after the millennial, before the great white throne judgment. They're going to be all put back together, and they're going to be cast into hell forever, just like we will enter into heaven forever. And so, you know, that's why when you think about those that you have lost that are saved, they're far better. I mean, because their soul is with the presence of the Lord, God's going to put them all back together, just like he's going to put us together in heaven when we meet him in the air, and we will all be like Christ. We will all have the form, the body like Christ. And again, the next phase of that is, even though you will recognize them, you will not have a relationship with them that you had on earth. You can't. You are brother and sisters in Christ. You are the children of God. There is no marriage in heaven. There is no procreation in heaven. There is, we are all one huge family. So it'd be kind of gross to be married to your sister in heaven. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be an unbelievable heaven-filled family reunion. And, you know, so when you get to heaven, you're not, you know, and I probably should quit, but one of the reasons why people struggle in grief on earth is because they want the person in the same way in relationship as they had him on earth. It's done. It's done. Kim and I faced that. Kim and I faced that when we got remarried. We didn't come out and say, you know what, we hate them and now you and I get to love each other. No. The love you had for someone else, that love is there, was there, but there's nobody there to love. God said that chapter's closed. It's done. And by God's grace, Kim and I are able to come together and love each other, finish up our journey on earth together. And I said many times, we both treat each other in the way and respect that Bill and Donna will say, well done to the both of us. Thanks for helping. Thanks for making it, finishing up the race. So, you know, you can't have them back. You're not going to get to heaven. How many people, and we can't talk about this in grief here. I know that. I get thrown out if I say stuff like this in grief here because some of them don't believe. Some of them, they just want their husband back. They want their child back. And I understand that. But they also have to understand that once that person's breath is done, that relationship will never be again. Even in heaven, it's not going to be. And that's, it's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, it's hard to understand. But when you do, you're able to move through, work through what God has for the rest of your life while you're still here waiting for your turn. That's the important part. Eric? Well, that's what Paul said when he was in heaven. Paul went up to heaven, was translated up to heaven. He saw Moses, Elijah, and he also said, I saw one that I knew before. He recognized that person. You'll recognize of who they are, but you won't have that, oh, there's mom. You'll know there's a person you knew before, but that relationship won't be the same. She'll be your sister. That's hard to understand. Right. And that's the key. Yeah. Right. And that's key. That change that happens when we have the body like Christ, our thinking is completely different. We cannot even begin to think like we're going to think in heaven. Right now on earth, we have those hurts. We have those pains. We have those desires to fill needs and miss people and want people. We won't have that in heaven. We won't have that desire and need because He, God, is going to fulfill all of those desires. We won't need the people in our life to fulfill the desire that God will take over. Yeah, God's going to wipe away our minds as He wipes away our tears. Yeah, everything will be different. I mean, and I wish I could stand here and paint a really good picture of clarity, but we can't. We can only go so far with some of that and understand it to the best. And the rest of it, we just know God said He's going to do this. Thank you. That's it. Just trust God for it. Because we're still in our flesh, because we still have our mindset, we still have our wants and our desires, we can't think about a time that that's not going to be. So it's like two things fighting against each other. So we just got to rely on God's promises to know that this is how it's going to be. Until then, keep on singing. Until then, keep on serving. You know, you just keep on serving God, knowing that His promises are true, and that there will be a day that you'll see them and you'll know that is them, but it will be nothing the same as what you do on earth. Well, see, and that's a very good illustration of how English, every one of the translations get it wrong, because that Greek word doesn't mean mansion, it means home, means room. If you do a study in the Jewish belief, the father has a big house, the son builds a room on addition onto his house that becomes his house for him and his new bride. So it's not every one of us have our little white house picket fence, the whole nine yards, on a street with grass. It is a huge center throne with many rooms that we get to live in them. And so it's not a mansion that we think a mansion with 22 bedrooms and 20 bathrooms, you know. It's not a home as we understand home. It's a room. And so each one of those rooms, one of them got your name on it. Isn't that great to know? I go to prepare a place for you. And he's still preparing. So it's exciting. What did you say? Well, there you go. It's all good, period. Study done. But yeah, it's like 10 till, so we probably need to get our study in it. But I appreciate the questions. And again, I don't have a hand. I'm not the sharpest nail in the toolbox, you know. But to get a handle, you can understand to a certain point. And after that, it's completely trusting God, because he's the one that's going to make it all happen. And so until then, we know. Until then, we trust him. We're going to next week pick up when Satan gets loose again. So we're going to go through a Wednesday to Tuesday. Remember, Tuesday next week, not Wednesday. And that's even one day less. We're going to go 1,000 years. So we're going to go to the end of it next week and pick up at the end of the millennial reign. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study. And Lord, it is very intriguing to think in our human minds how this is all going to work. But God, we know that we don't have to. Isaiah is very clear. Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. And God, you don't need our permission or our approval to do anything. God, we just need to trust you. And I think that's where we come to. We understand so much, and then we know that you are a faithful God that will make sure all of it happens. You're a faithful God to make sure that what we do understand is what we need to know in order to carry on the journey that we have here on earth. And God, we just praise you and thank you for how you work in us and through us and giving us the understanding that we have.